Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking also about the kingdom that is not of God, that is actually allowed by God to punish the wicked. And we're also talking about not so secure social security. How do you think Nimrod got to be king? How do you think Cain operated his city-state in Lamech? They offered security. They offered benefits. They offered welfare. They offered to take care of you. Of course, they weren't going to do this with their own money. They were going to do that with yours. They were going to make sure that everybody paid their fair share. That mere idea is coveting your neighbor's goods. Like I said the other day on a show, it is this coveting your neighbor's goods. It doesn't say, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods unless he's really rich. It just says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, or anything that is thy neighbor's, whether he's rich or not. And the fact is, the system you have actually even taxes widows and orphans. You know, you got inheritance tax and property tax. I know a widow who pays as much tax as is paid on this house, and she lives in a shack. I mean, it is a shack, single pane windows. We put a roof on it for her, but they still tax her that amount. We pointed out, you know, they actually got her in a higher tax bracket because they say she lives in a recreational area. There's nobody recreating there. She just happened to be surrounded by BLM property. Nobody recreates there. She's an old, old widow, and they tax her heavily on this shack. And we point out that it's wrong, and they say, they don't care. There's a cognitive dissonance, disconnect, where they don't care. And you don't care. And most of the people in the community don't care enough to make a difference. I went right to the tax assessor, stood to him face to face and said, this isn't right. But I'm one guy. What am the other thousands of people who go to church in this community? They don't care. Well, she should pay the tax just because she's a widow. You know, it's terrible. It's terrible. We've gone so far away from humanity, from righteousness of Christ, that it's unbelievable. And we were talking previously about the fact that there was this social security system set up by Herod and the Pharisees called Corban that made the word of God to none effect, even though that Corban was the social security system of ancient Israel. But the difference between the two systems is that Herod compelled the offerings of the people and put them into a central treasury, and that's why he had the money to even build this golden temple, which Christ was not impressed with. Christ wasn't coming to build a temple out of dead stone, but out of living stones. And what happened is that Social Security money, probably under the same deal that you have. I mean, people think that, oh, Social Security, you know, that's in my trust fund somewhere. And from the beginning, from the very beginning, right in the text itself, the Supreme Court has ruled that there is no distinction between the general fund and Social Security. There is no earmarked funds. They can keep charging you Social Security and give you absolutely no benefits whatsoever. That's absolutely legal. They can do that. You know, or they can turn the benefit into, you know, Hotel FEMA. And you can live behind barbed wire. And, well, you know, they're providing. You know, so they can do that. And that's legal. Been legal from the beginning. Anybody who wants to think otherwise is cognitively disconnected from reality. But anyway, back at the time of Jesus Christ, they had the same system you guys are going to now. And Jesus said it made the word of God to none effect. But before that, how they got to that place was they said, okay, you get baptized and you go down into the laver. They actually were going all over the Roman Empire baptizing people in these systems. They had treasuries all over. There were probably some of the money was even in the temple at Ephesus. because they were the underwriter for most of these nations. I know that 127 different countries built the temple at Ephesus, which was their World Bank of the day. I don't know if one of those countries was Judea, but I have every reason to believe that Judea was a part of that, just based on the fact that it was so many countries, 127, and that Judea and Rome were heavily locked since the Hasmoneans had invited in to Aristobulus the Romans. And then after Hyrcanus became king, the Romans went to him, and he would not invite them in, but the Pharisees did. And so chances are they were. But anyway, that's what Pilate was. He was one of the chief financial officers. And what he did is this huge fund that was accumulating, they were able to build this golden and stone temple with all this money. And you thought you were socially secure with their system of Corbin. Even this darn Christ comes along and says that system makes the word of God to none effect. Pilate comes along and he used the sacred treasury of the temple called Corbin to pay for, and I'm quoting here, bringing water into Jerusalem by an aqueduct. A crowd came together and clamored against him for doing that because they thought those funds were earmarked for them. No, there wasn't. Few understand how the system works. They don't even understand the sacred text. And we cover a lot of this in the article. They don't understand what pure religion is. They don't understand what the first century church was doing. They didn't have a common treasury where thieves and robbers could break in, where corrupt governments. They were actually, the ministers of the church were actually public servants. Jesus Christ was king. These are the ones who say there is another king. They were Jews, some of them, and then there was Gentiles, some of them. Like Paul's half-brother, Pudin, and his wife, Claudia, who was actually from Britain, named Gladys. And her brother, Linus, who was one of the early bishops in Rome. And their two daughters, Priscilla, and I won't get the last name, Putinciana, of the other daughter, who built the first churches, which were actually not places where you thousands of people meet. They were small, little, tiny churches, but actually they marked cemeteries. Just like the catacombs, just like Abraham. We have our cemeteries because we bury our own dead. We have somebody buried on the church property. And that's the way it works. But we don't build big temples. You're the stones, the living stones of the temple. And when you gather together in congregations to be the social welfare of each other, then I know you're headed back. And I can tell you this, when there are coyotes in the field, real sheep, they run. Those fat old sheep, they make tracks. Where do they run? They run towards each other. Blackface don't always do it. I've seen blackface out there. Those old farm flocks, so used to living in the farm flock and getting fed by the massa. They run big wide arcs. They don't go beelining back to each other. And the coyote loves to turn them out, separate them from the herd, and take them down at the throat. I've seen it. Of course, that coyote's dead now. But that's the way coyotes work. That's the way the beast works. He separates. He divides and conquers. You guys are a scattered flock. You don't even know how to live free on the range. You don't know how to come together. You should be making a beeline to gather together wherever you can. And you should be doing everything you can to get others to gather together with you, because the treasure of the kingdom is people. Not stuff. They can take your stuff. But people save people, not stuff. I don't mind you getting some stuff. I'm not against you getting some stuff. But if you don't come together with others with the intention to serve one another, to care for one another, to tend to the afflicted amongst you when they really need help in a way that strengthens the poor, then you're just the wrong kind of progressive. You're progressing towards the fiscal cliff. and you just get in our way. But if you really love one another, if you want to love one another, you want to care about one another, you want to be there for one another, join the network, the Living Network at HisHolyChurch.org. Join the others. Get to know them. You're not going to get to know them on email, but we can make you contact. But, you know, we got meetings going on in New York and Missouri, and there's been some in Colorado. But you got to work at it. You got to work at really what is real. This is why I'm putting together this coverage of every verse in the Bible eventually, if I live long enough, and show you that they're all connected. You can't take them out of context. There's a context in which God has been the same yesterday as he is today. Jesus preached a system of social welfare that operated under the perfect law of liberty by faith, hope, and charity. That's what church is. Christians stood fast in the liberty of Christ and cared for each other through their own system of social welfare, managed by ministers of the church who were truly servants of servants of service. They didn't come and tell you what to believe. Christ already told you what to believe. They didn't make up new doctrines. Christ's doctrines are enough. That's his doctrine. The church is established by Jesus Christ for his purposes, not for dollars' purposes. I don't want to pick on poor Dollar, but he's as good an example as all the others out there you've been listening to. They don't know Christ. They're not preaching his gospel. They're delivering you into the bondage. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, that's what the Fabian Society has as their symbol, a wolf in sheep's clothing. I mean, how bold is that? The church in those days actually understood the gospel of the kingdom and appointed by Christ and would never send their people to the men of the government that called themselves benefactors but exercised authority one over the other in opposition to his Christ's specific instructions, which you should all know in Luke 22:25 and Matthew 20:25 and Mark 10:42. I'm just quoting Christ here. Don't take Paul out of the context of Christ. Paul isn't saying, oh, it's okay to apply to men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority. It's okay to make the state your sugar daddy as long as they give really good benefits. It's not okay. That is a reprobate mind if you think that's okay. And I understand that you find yourself in that dire position. But you also know it's going to fail. They tell you it's going to fail. They tell you it's going to fail. They give you a date. Maybe sooner than they say. It's kind of like the weather. Do you really believe the weather forecasts? Are they accurate all the time? How about government projections? How's that working out for you? It may go broke a lot sooner than you think. They're just keeping you lulled into a sense of security that isn't there. The early church called the people to repentance of the system, of that system. And a new baptism of John was expected of you, the baptism of the apostles. And then when you did that, you were opting out of one system into the other. You're not ready for that. But you're ready to start working in that direction. First, you got to come together. You're a scattered flock. You're dry bones on the desert. We got to put those bones together according to the structure and design of God. But then you flesh, you people, have to repent. And start gathering together on these dry bones according to the structure that Christ has always followed, that Moses followed, that Abraham followed. Gather together in your congregations of 10 families. And pick a minister you choose. And if he does a good job of serving you, keep him. If he doesn't, stop. It's the only government where you don't have to pay the taxes to that guy if he's not doing the job. All the other governments require that you do. Now, right now, you owe a tally of bricks and you're in the system. And I'm not telling you to be unfriendly with the unrighteous mammon. I'm saying that if you can be free, choose it rather. But even if you cannot be free, be good servants in Christ and start coming together. Start finding those people that are trusting in the ways of Christ and want to go that way. that progressive way towards the kingdom instead of the progressive way towards hell. And on our website, you can go to the place where the guy's throwing out the net and join the network and find people in your area. You need to start working with people on your on the ground. It's the time is running out. Rome and Jerusalem would soon falter and fail under the weight of their own corruption. Christians hearing the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom preached by John and by Christ formed a new society that would survive and prosper in true faith during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And that's what you need to do, because Rome is the image of the beast. What is the difference between the beast and the image of the beast? The beast was Rome. What's the image of the beast? The difference between the image of the beast, and they tell you right in the Bible, the image of the beast is that he is able to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of man. Now, the beast was Rome, and the emperor of Rome, imperator meaning, this is a definition right out of the Latin dictionary, meaning commander-in-chief. That's the definition in Collins Latin Dictionary of the word imperator. He was elected to a 10-year term of office, and he had to take an oath of office, and he was the commander-in-chief of the army and the navy. That was the emperor. Now, the image of the beast is something else. He can make fire come down from heaven in the sight of man. Why is that? Because he's the commander-in-chief of the army and the navy and the air force. There you go. Now, that's as good an explanation as you're going to get from anybody else. The beast and the image of the beast. But the image of the beast is going to decline and fall too. So what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to seek the kingdom of God, which is people who are caring for one another in faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, by personal sacrifice one to another, choosing men they trust, looking out amongst themselves and choosing men they trust. And there's a lot more to it, but these are the basics. And caring for one another in a system of social welfare that strengthens the poor, doesn't weaken the poor, provides for the needy, but in a way that strengthens them. How's that working out the way you've been doing it? How's your social welfare? That's breeding ground for crime and more voters that vote for more socialism. They vote away the purse, and they total disconnect. And we have a bunch of other articles, like I say, the Corbin of the Pharisees, you can find that in our sermon section. And it tells you the Nicolaitans, who God hates. What are the Nicolaitans? Nicolaity, that's the conquered people. What conquers you? The greatest destroyers of freedom is the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And how do they get you to get those? Is that you have to get you cognitively disconnected from the idea that it's wrong to covet your neighbor's goods. Once they've made that disconnect, then you too can be a Nicolaitan and God will hate you too. You can start coveting your neighbor's goods and think that it is good. But it is not. It destroys your society. What happens? You lose the hue and cry of your society. People will be raped in your streets and nobody will come to their aid. That's what's going to happen. Wait a minute. Oh, that's already happening. People will be robbed in your courts, and the churches will just sing louder in their churches. They won't come to their aid because they won't be tending to what Christ calls the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That's already happening. There will be a total breakdown of the family, God's first institution. Divorce, 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 until they don't even bother getting married anymore. Women will have children by multiple men, and they will be living in the public welfare. Horrors for hire, paid for by your tax dollars, in impure religion. That's what's going to happen. Oh, wait, that's already happening. That's right. You've already been given over to a reprobate mind. You're already under a strong delusion. You're already betraying Christ, spitting in his face, and taking his name in vain, calling yourself a Christian. I had a guy on one of our study groups the other day and I came on, and we actually have recorded it into a program, a Q&A program, and the good ministers of our network can tell you where that is. But he didn't like the word Christian, and I understand. It's embarrassing. So many people are using it today that don't know anything about Christ, that are actually anti-Christ, but they're calling themselves Christian. Those are just the wolves in sheep's clothing. Those are the vampires and werewolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be, just like the days of the Pharisees. They claiming Moses, they don't even know Moses. They would have known Christ. Most Christians don't know Christ. They don't even know Moses. So that's where you're at. So find out if you're a Nicolaitan, because most of you are. But that's okay. You can repent. You can turn around. You can stop being a Nicolaitan. You can be something better. Okay, employee versus enslave is another one. And these are all linked at where you find not so secure Social Security. You know, I actually even have a picture there of one of the stones that Herod had carved with the Social Security funds that made the aqueduct. You know, that the some of those stones still exist. And it's kind of interesting because they'd take these stones and they'd carve a round pipe and then fit them together. And they were able to bring water all the way down into Jerusalem. Great thing. But they took it out of the Social Security fund. So there was actual riot. And they give you a picture of the riot. People were all causing this disturbance. And Pilate sent men down, soldiers down amongst them, dressed as civilians. And then at a single signal, they suddenly threw off the robes and they had clubs and started beating the people. Very organized way of doing it, I'm sure, too. And drove the crowds away. And you can kind of figure on the same treatment for you when you finally find out that there is absolutely not one dime left in your Social Security fund because of that rule that they stated way back from the Supreme Court in 1937. And it's actually, I even quoted to you already in the earlier show. Congress could, in its future discretion, spend the money for whatever Congress then judged to be the general welfare of the country, which would be paying the debt. No constitutional power to earmark or segregate certain kinds of tax proceeds for certain purposes, whether the purpose be farm prices, supports, foreign aid, or Social Security payments, or payment of interest. So therefore, there is no money in the Social Security fund whatsoever. It is not sacredly separate. Sacred means separate. It has never been sacred. They are lying to you. They are deceiving you. They are talking gibberish, and you're listening to them because you owe way more than any fund that's in there. It is not solvent. It is not operating in the black. You are a human resource. You can go up to the 1960 Fleming versus Nestor case and see that there is no obligation of payment concerning your Social Security. Nestor, it was Ephraim Nestor. He was a member of the Communist Party back in 1930s sometime, but when Social Security came along, he joined Social Security, which would be typical of a communist. Someone who's a socialist would think Social Security is great. And he joined, and he worked in the workforce between 1936 and 1955. And in 1954, Congress passed a law that if you were deported, you would lose your right to any Social Security payments. Well, Nestor, after he finished working, he was deported in 1956, I think it was. And they stopped paying. They stopped paying. His payments then were $56. We'll talk about why they were so low when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. But anyway, it says to engraft upon Social Security, this is the Supreme Court system, a concept of accrued property rights would deprive it of the flexibility and boldness in adjustment to ever-changing conditions which it demands. Those ever-changing conditions is they can take every last dime that's in Social Security and use it to build FEMA camps for all you you can say about it. They can use it to pay the interest. They can build FEMA camps. They can buy bullets for Homeland Security, enough to shoot every man, woman, and child in America. They can do anything they want. And it's no different if we were in Australia. I don't want to pick on poor United States. I just happen to be in this world. I don't live of it, but I'm in this world. And the fact is it's the same in every socialist country. New Zealand, they're more in debt per person in New Zealand than you are in the United States. If anyone sign up for Social Security in there for their children, they just sold their children into bondage forever and ever until New Zealand is absolutely destroyed and half submerged underwater someday. Some of the higher mountains may avoid the floods, but most of it will be unbelievably devastated. But it's very, you can have it go there as a visitor and have your teeth fixed at the expense of their grandchildren. But that's what somebody says. Oh, I think it's a great country. When I was visiting there, they would even fix my teeth. At whose price? Well, a government would pay for it. You mean the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other to the point where they have every man, woman, and child into debt, $55,000 at birth? And those figures are a few years old. There's probably even more now. But anyway, they stopped poor Ephraim Nestor's payments, and he sued, and they said there is no property right. You have no right, accrued property rights, to any funds. They don't have to pay you a dime. And, of course, that was in 1960, but by the time they made that ruling, that's been the way it was from the beginning. That was already ruled in 1937, and it's actually in the bill. It is apparent that the non-contractual interest of an employee covered by the Social Security Act cannot be soundly analogized to that of the holder of an annuity whose rights to benefits is bottomed on his contractual premium payments. It's not insurance. There's no money there. It is totally broke. It's in the red. And you have to pay into it whether they give you one single benefit or not, because you're in a system of corvy, a system of bondage, and they are not going to let my people go. At least not right now, but they will. But when the question is, who are God's people? Are you letting God write in your hearts and in your minds the ways of Christ? Is the character of Christ, don't give me Yahshua, Yeshua, all this stuff, the character of Christ, his actual name, his actual personality, is that written in your heart and in your mind? Because that's what we need to know. That's what you need to know. And I beat you up so that you will know you're off the trail. I beat you up so you know that you're off and going the wrong direction on the path, on the way. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. You've just been going the wrong way. And your churches have been getting you. Let's sing along as we go the wrong way down the path of the fiscal cliff. And so I'm saying, let's turn around. Let's go the other way. And let's talk about that in this last half, this last opportunity to look at the secure Social Security of Christ. Because that's where you need to be headed. And it's a step-by-step process. But very sure that you need to turn around, though, before you start that step, because you're awful close to the fiscal cliff there. Can you see it? Anyway, we'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom. God bless. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're still talking about the not-so-secure Social Security, but we're also going to talk a little bit about the secure Social Security, which is as secure as your faith in God. And it is not a guarantee like the other one, for several reasons. One is it's not a guarantee. Christ died that ye might be saved. But it's also not a lie. which is makes it very distinct from the other system that is full of lies. They wrote down the truth, but then they can say anything they want because that's just casual conversation. Oh, did I say that wrong? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I mislead you there? Oh, I'm sorry. It's written down if you want to look it up. You see? So they got you because they wrote it down. And as it is written, so shall it be done. You are broke. Your Social Security fund has nothing in it. They don't have to pay you a dime. And you still have to pay them everything. You know, if you go take the oath for citizenship in the United States, and anyone who has a passport, it says this right in the codes, anybody who goes and gets a passport, it is considered that they have already taken this oath. And that it means that you will work at civilian work projects, doesn't say anything about pay, at the command of the government. In other words, you will be a federal employee at the command of the government. And of course, you already are. Because you're already a member and you've already been assumed because you've signed up. And you say, oh, well, my dad signed up for me. Well, your dad sold you into bondage, just like you would be sold into bondage back in the 1300s. You've been indentured. You've become an apprentice. That's how, you know, your dad said, you got to obey your dad. And, you know, he went and watched TV and he sold you. And it's just bad. I know. Too bad. Get used to disappointment. Now, what can we do about it? Well, I'm going to read you a few more things about so that I get it really clear in your head that there is a severe problem. And I wrote the book, The Covenants of the Gods, and you can read it for free online. I'm not just selling you books. I mean, you can buy the books too online, but you can actually read the whole thing in PDF and HTML. We got a PHP, so you can read it. And we got sound files with every chapter just about, and you can just download them. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to, you know, pledge your firstborn or any of those things. We give it away. But it's going to cost you your delusions if you're going to do you any good. But anyway, chapter 4 is employee versus enslave. And you find the links on the outline page. And in it, we quote, the catalog of means and actions which might be imposed upon an employer in any business tending to the satisfaction and comfort of his employees seems endless. Provisions for free medical attendance and nursing, for clothing, for food, for housing, for the education of children, and 100 other matters might with equal propriety be proposed as tending to relieve the employee of mental strain and worry. Can it fairly be said that the power of Congress to regulate interstate commerce extends to the prescription of any or all of these things? Is it not apparent that they are really and essentially related solely to the social welfare of the worker? Therefore, remote from any regulation of commerce as such, we think the answer is plain. These matters obviously lie outside the orbit of congressional powers. That's what it said. Railroad Retirement Board, Supra 295 U.S. at 368. So whose powers does it lie in? If Congress did not have the power to establish an insurance system, who wanted it? The president, as I said before, wanted everybody covered from cradle to grave under a social insurance system. That's page 936 through page 946 of the Ways and Means hearing. The original stated that sold as if it was insurance back in an interview in 1953. And this was penned by its originator. Even it goes all the way back to 1936. So this is not new stuff. We're not dealing with stuff outside of the box. Neither the president nor the Congress had the power to compel the free people, but they signed up. You signed up. and you became federal employees. And so now they want to give you health care, welfare, and all this stuff. The problem is they're broke. And in order to give you what they got, you've become a collateral. This is the one purse. You're in the purse. They can take from you and take from you and take from you, take from your loins. They can take from your children, your grandchildren. They can run you into debt for generations and generations to come to put you in bondage forever. They could do that, and they're doing it, and it's the process until they own you, which is what they already do. You're a slave. Yeah, they pay you a little bit. I mean, the slaves in the old plantation, they got paid too. Now, I'm not saying, oh, you know, rise up and throw off your oppressors. You're the oppressor. You wanted those benefits at the expense of your neighbor. You are snared in this system. You set the table of a king and you ate heartily at it. Now you're snared. And they want to force you to do the dishes because you don't got anything left to pay for your bill. And Christ doesn't want you in the kingdom if you're a truce breaker. Paul says that. Truce breakers have no place in the kingdom. So you got to pay your tally of bricks. The answer is to seek the kingdom. And that, you know, there's more of that in that article, Employee versus Enslaved, that shows you the bondage, but there's no solution in that. We have solutions in another place, okay? And Thy Kingdom Come, it tells you about some of those solutions and how they work. And it tells you how they worked in the past, in the days of Abraham, the days of Moses, and setting up these altars of flesh, these altars of people. But not where you eat the flesh of the people. Actually, you do eat the flesh of the people, but only what they freely give. You don't eat them when they're alive, when there's blood in it. You know, that was one of the things. You were not to eat meat when there was blood in it. Blood is a right. And when you die, the right is gone. You don't have any more right to it. What they're talking about is what is freely given on this altar is cleansed because it's freely given. And it's given up entirely to the minister. Now he can distribute it in a system of social welfare that will help you out without eating meat with blood in it. Why did they say that the sacrifice on idols, the altars of the idols, had meat with blood in it? They bled out the animal too. They cut the throat and bled out the animal. It had blood in it because they were forced offerings. They were not freely given. Israel for 400 years took care of all the social welfare by free will offerings. They took care of support for the military by free will offerings. It wasn't until Saul, who forced an offering, that they were called foolish. You guys have all done that. I mean, every corner of the system of the world today is permeated throughout your churches and your chapels and your ways and your religion. It's all in opposition to Christ. We talk in HealthShare, which is at our Preparing You. We're actually going to have two sites that we have. Preparing You, the letter U.com, which is like preparinguniversity.com. And we're also going to be developing preparingyou.com. But on Preparing You, and probably on the other one already, we're doing this because we're upgrading the wiki site. You build the site. It's the people building the site. I'm not putting all these articles up. This one I did write. The conflict between Christians and the people who persecuted them in the early days of the church was mostly over their system of social welfare, which was managed through the temples like Ephesus, the Temple of Saturn, the Parthenon. These were government buildings at this time. Originally, they were like churches to some degree or like brokerage houses. But they were actually government buildings. Ephesus was built by 127 different governments. And the Temple of Saturn is where you would register your birth certificate. When your child was born, within 30 days, you had to register his birth in Rome in 168 AD by the order of the commander-in-chief, Marcus Aurelius. And Christians wouldn't do that because the only reason you register your child with a register or the Temple of Saturn, which is where it eventually goes, was so that you could get benefits, and they wouldn't get those benefits because, and they write this in 150 AD to the other emperor before Marcus, who taught Marcus, which was Antoninus Pius. This is all a matter of record. I'm not making this stuff up. He wrote, he says, this is how we do it. We gather it once a week, and those that have share with those that don't have. Faith, hope, and charity. Is that what you're doing in your church? You go to church, you sing, you give a little bit of contributions to pay the debt of your pastor, and then what do? If you need, you go to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. You go to the Temple of Saturn to get your benefits. You just call it the Bureau of Vital Statistics, and you don't have to go every week. You got a card. And with the card, you can get the benefit. That's not what the Christians were doing. Christians depended upon the holy temple made of living stones, which was a network of people living by the perfect law of liberty, faith, hope, and charity. Those who had shared with those who had true needs. Our modern idea of religion differs from the meaning of the word in the days the Bible was written. Pure religion was a religion rooted in charity alone. Celsus, who was a follower of Plato, writing during the term of Marcus Aurelius, opposed, and I'm quoting here, opposed the sectarian tendencies at work in the Christian movement because he saw in Christianity a privatizing of religion and transferal of religious values from the public sphere to the private association. People say they want to privatize Social Security. Church did it 2,000 years ago. It's grandfathered in. You're just not going to the church established by Christ. You're going to the church established by progressive. You know, I was always amazed that Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Satan, made his greatest inroads in progress and found his greatest support amongst ministers of churches who follow his ways of progressive socialism in churches. They're not the churches established by Christ. Oh, they say Jesus, they say Yeshua, but they don't have his name written on their hearts and their minds. They just got lip service. This was the conflict. They, in Africa, under the emperor, Servius returned victorious from having vanquished the kings who had taken part in the Niger against him. He published his cruel edict against the Christians in the year of 202 AD, the 10th of his reign, the 10th year of his reign. But the general laws of the empire against foreign religion and the former edict of several emperors against Christians were sufficient to warrant too many governors to draw the sword against them before that time. So what are they talking about? And we find that the persecution was very hot in Africa 2 years before under the proconsul of Saturninus. So why were they persecuting the Christians? Because they were a private religion. They were a private social welfare system to take care of the widows and orphans and needy of their society. According to faith, hope, and charity, standing fast in the liberty of Christ which made them free, sharing all things with each other through a network of ministers who came to serve, not to rule over you. The emperor maintained his loyalty in two ways. One was with the army and the other was with the temples. In other words, if you wanted the benefits, you had to register with that temple, and you registered at birth. Your parents registered you. And when you started working, you had to pay into the temple by statutory requirements. It was called public religion. It is called Social Security today. It is the welfare state where the state is your daddy and it will take care of all of your needs. And Christians wouldn't have any part of that because they were taking care of one another. The concept of government in which the state plays a key role in the protection and the promotion of the economics and social well-being of the citizens. It is based on the principle of equality of opportunity, equality of distribution of wealth, and public responsibility for those unable to avail themselves of minimal provisions for a good life. The general term may cover a variety of forms of economic and social organization. The church is the welfare state, but it's the welfare state that does not exercise authority one over the other. The world is the welfare state that does. But your churches aren't the church is defined as one form of government in Black's Law Dictionary, but it's just not the form that you have anything to do with. There was a number of people in North Africa, Speratus and Narzalas and these people, Vestina, Donata, and they were all accused of belonging to this Christian private religion. And what was the argument against them? How did they argue against these poor people? That they were going to burn. They burned evidently thousands by the time they were done, according to some reports. They had their own system of Corbin that operated by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. But they were accused of a private foreign religion, not participating in the public social welfare. And they set upon them because they said that they were making a law against that. The emperors, the commanders in chief were making laws against that. It was illegal because Christ had already set them free. Christ was not a part of their government. They could make these rules for their people, but they couldn't make these rules for Christians because they had another king. Modern Christians, the emperor is their king. That is the creature they worship and serve. And they serve him to get their benefits. Vigilius Saturninus, who was the proconsul of Africa in about 180 CE, addressed the seeming antisocial behavior of these 12 Christians who were going to become martyrs with the statement, "We too are religious, and our religion is simple. We swear by the genius of our Lord, the wisdom, the brains," which is actually taken from this idea of family, "the Lord Emperor. And we apply for his benefits, as you also ought to do." But Christians wouldn't do that. And this was the problem. But they wouldn't do it because he was one of those benefactors who exercised authority. The emperor was also known as Patronus, our Father, who art in Rome. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, when thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, earth as it is in Rome. His kingdom comes with his grace. He giveth us our daily bread as we kill those who oppose him. That's their prayer. That's why you invade other countries. That's your prayer, so that you be secure. The true Christians, like Spiritus, not like the modern Christians today, he wouldn't do that. He says, "I know not the genius of your emperor of this world, but I serve the God of heaven, whom no mortal man hath ever seen or can see. I never committed any crime punishable by the laws of the state. I pay the public duties for whatever I buy or use, acknowledging the emperor for my temporal lord, but I adore none but my God, who is the King of kings, the sovereign lord over all the nations of the world. I have been guilty of no crime, and therefore cannot have incurred punishment." But they punished him anyway. Your courts do that all the time, and you sit there singing in your churches. We need to repent. We need to start coming together, and that's what we need to start thinking about. And so what we did is we started a network at hisholychurch.org, and we have lots more to the network, preparingyou.com and thelivingnetwork.org, I think it is. Someone else is setting these things up. because we're working as a team. We had a lot of people working together at this. And you want a list of all their names? I'm not giving them to you. You want to know who we are? You're going to have to come and participate. You're going to have to get, right now, you pretty much have to get online. And you join one of our local networks. You can do it with any email you want. You get to know the local PCMs, personal contact ministers in those areas, or ministers of record if you're lucky to have one near you. And they will introduce you to others in your area. They know where people are individually in your area. They don't know where everybody is, but they know where they, it's again, 10 people, pick a minister. And when you start with two, but you got to have at least two or more witnesses, two or three, two or more witnesses, and they pick a minister of their choice. And you can change anytime you want. It's not like the world where you had to wait 4 years or whatever. You can change anytime you want, but you pick one you want. And then he becomes a PCM, a personal contact minister, and he gets to know who else is on that local group. He doesn't know everything about them, but he at least knows how to get a hold of them through email or whatever. And then as they begin to trust him, they'll give him their phone number. And as they begin to trust him more, they will go out to eat the lunch with him sometime. Some of them are already meeting in each other's houses. And as we're building it. We're headed back, progressively heading back towards the kingdom. But you got to come with virtue. You got to come with charity. You got to come with hope. You got to come with faith. You don't come trying to impose your interpretation, your private interpretation of the Bible. It's pretty simple. You know, we can get into the campfire talks and into the details and wonder about all those things that Christ didn't say much about. But the basics are simple. You got to care about one another as much as you care about yourself. You got to care about your neighbor's children as much as you care about your own children. You have to care about your neighbor's grandchildren. You have to stop coveting your neighbor's goods. You got to start living by faith and hope, and hope your neighbor will be there. But you got to find out who's your neighbor in Christ, who's trying to do the same thing. You have to start coming together. That's going to take some time and process. You don't have a lot of time. You just don't have a lot of time. You don't have any time to waste. You got to start coming together. So if you don't immediately go online and start finding those people, now you can get a hold of us and call us occasionally, but until we get more and more of these congregations on the ground, you're going to have to do it through the internet. Once you do that, and you can come to our festivals. We've got one coming up in Missouri here in the spring. And then we got another one in the fall coming up here. We call it the Burning Bush Festival. And it's going to be on Labor Day. And that's so, you know, you can still have your big calendar people. You can still have your other Feast of Tabernacles. But this is to be our outreach to meet more people, and they get to meet us. But then you have to keep following this up. Don't be the seeds that fall on the wayside and get eaten up. Don't be those seeds that fall on dry ground and are not nurtured and on stones and rocks. Start coming together in good places. Start reaching out. Start striving what Christ says. Start seeking that kingdom. Start seeking others that you can help. Don't come for what you can get. Come for what you can give. Because then you're coming in the character of Christ. Then you're coming in the name of Christ. That's what it means to be in the name of Christ. It's not a magic word. The name of Christ is the way he was, the character of who he was. It's like those old Indians who named themselves after these different characteristics. Christ came to sacrifice, to serve. You need to come for the same purpose if you're going to come in the name of Christ. You do that, and you will be suited for more righteous habitations. That's what you need to do. You have to become suitable for more righteous habitations by coming in the name of Christ and joining together in love for one another. And so that's what I leave you with. Peace upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.